Acts chapter 27. Acts chapter 27. We're certainly thankful to be here this morning. We've enjoyed the good Sunday school for the first time since I've been back here with the church. I was able to sit through the entire Sunday school lesson, and certainly thankful for that. Do ask you pray for Mineral Springs as they call pastor. Did give them up this Wednesday night. We felt led to resign there. So glad that we could be here a little bit earlier anyway. And certainly have enjoyed the service thus far. You know, I'm amazed at how God has blessed here at Clear Branch, especially just recently. You know, to have so many that have gotten saved. And I've had different ones that maybe after I preach, they said, well, you know, I'm studying along the same lines of what you preached. And you know, then I come into Sunday school this morning, and Brother Buddy took a lesson that was written. He said, I feel led to go in a different direction. And he began to talk about the wonders that the Lord has blessed us with, and he focused in on the Word of God. And that's exactly what I want to do this morning in trying to preach, is talk about the Word of God just a little bit. Acts 27, verse 20. Of course, this is Paul, and he's on a ship, and he's already instructed the men that we shouldn't leave from where we're at now, but they didn't listen. They decided that they would carry on, and they got caught up in a storm. And in verse 20, and when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. But after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, sirs, ye should have hearkened unto me and not have loosed from Crete, and to have gained all this harm and loss. And now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am, saying, fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God, that it shall be even as it was told me. Howbeit, we must be cast upon a certain island. You know, Paul, in speaking to these people, and remember now, he is a prisoner, and he's speaking to those that have authority over him. But whenever he spoke to them, Brother Alton, he said, sirs, ye should have hearkened unto me. Ye should have listened to me. You know, what made Paul's words so important? I'll answer that by saying this. What made Paul's words so important is that they were not Paul's words. They were God's words. God had given him a message, and he had given that message to those that even had authority over them, and so they should have listened to the message from God. Paul was merely the Lord's mouthpiece. He simply was relaying God's message. And in other words, he says, if you had listened, you would not have experienced this trouble that we're facing now. You wouldn't have to go through what we're going through. You wouldn't have to experience what's coming in the future if you had just listened to the words of God. I want to remind us this morning of what happens when we fail to listen to the Word of God. You know, we hear all the time we need to listen to God's Word, and God's Word is important, and God's Word is holy. But we need to understand that there's some consequences when we don't listen to God's Word, that we need to obey Him with all of our heart, that this is the authority. Not some man somewhere, not some preacher somewhere. This is the authority, and we should listen to God's Word. You know, when we disobey His Word, when we shrug off His message that He sends our way, that there's some consequences that are going to come along the way. Paul said, if you just listen to me, you would have spared yourself all this harm and all this loss. But now he goes on and he says, now God's still merciful. And oh, God is going to save each and every one of us if we'll abide with the ship. So, but there's coming a time where we're even going to lose the ship. We're going to be cast upon an island. We're going to have to swim for a little while. You know, the Bible says that some of those men, that they floated up on pieces of the ship and, you know, other debris that whenever the ship was torn apart, they floated on different pieces, and some would even swim into shore, no doubt. But you can imagine what that would be like to go through a storm and you haven't seen the sun, you haven't seen the stars. All you've seen is black for close to 2 weeks. That's all you've seen. And then the word is that we're going to lose the ship too. And we're going to be cast upon an island. You're going to have to swim. You know, when we choose to go with the flow, when we decide that we know best, that we can rest assured there's trouble coming. You know, is there someone here today, maybe you're lost, and you've heard the gospel. Maybe you've heard it time and time again. You've heard from God's Word how that you're saved by grace through faith. You've heard through God's Word that all you have to do is turn to the Lord and trust in Jesus Christ as your Savior. And maybe in the back of your mind you think, well, there's got to be more to it than that. You know what you're doing? You're taking your own word over God's. You're deciding that it has to be different whenever God said this is the way it is. I think about how that Naaman would go down and say, well, I'm going to this man of God to be healed. And the man of God sent him the word that this is what you must do to be healed. And he left and he says, there's nothing to that. I thought it would be different. I thought he would handle this different. I thought his words would be different. I thought he would come out and strike his hand over the place and recover me of my leprosy. I thought it would be different. Had to be more to it than that. Now, you may think, Brother Brad, to be saved, there's got to be more to it than that. It can't be as simple as just repentance toward God and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen to me this morning. If that's your thought, that's the reason you're still lost. That's the reason that you're struggling. That's the reason you're lost. It's because you cannot just accept God's Word. You know, you're suffering this morning and losing out on the life of a Christian because you can't just accept God's Word. You may go down with the ship if you can't listen to God's Word. God's Word is the authority. And as Paul would say, man, sirs, you should have listened to me. You should have hearkened unto me. I was delivering God's message unto you. You should have heard that. But instead, you chose to go your own route. You chose to listen to self. You know, there is hope. If you turn and trust Jesus right now, you still can be saved. God dealing with your heart this morning, you still can be saved. But you're going to have to listen to God's Word. You know, how often this morning do we that are saved, we kind of creep back into that old way of life? We kind of follow after the flesh, and you know, we find that maybe some of us, we find that we try to serve God for a little while, and then maybe we get bored with that, and we start backsliding. We start looking at that old way of life and the things we used to do and the things we used to enjoy, and we decide that, you know what, life's more fun back there. As the Bible would say, it's like a dog returning to its vomit or a pig returning to the mire. Many times, maybe that's where we find ourselves. I want to ask you this morning, what good can come from rebellion? What good can come from it? Right now, while you have a good chance just to kind of reason, to look at your options, to consider maybe even the fact that you're not where you need to be this morning, I want you to consider, what good is it going to do to rebel against God? To know His Word, to know what He wants you to do in your life and say, I'm going to take a different route. What good is going to come from that? Shouldn't we expect to lose the ship after a while? When you look in Scripture and you find a man like Moses that served the Lord, and then he gets out here and he gets off himself, and the Lord says, you're not going into the promised land because you got off himself. He should have just obeyed the Word of God. But there were consequences. Be sure your sins will find you out. You know, shouldn't we expect after a while to lose the ship? God is long-suffering to us, Word, but you know better. If you're sitting here this morning and you are going down a bad road, you know better. You know what the Word of God says. Sir, ma'am, you should have hearkened unto the Word of God. Look over at Joshua 7. Joshua 7, verse 1. But the children of Israel committed a trespass in the accursed thing. For Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, took of the accursed thing, and the angel of the Lord was kindled against the children of Israel. Okay, you have Achan here, and he took something that God said don't take. Okay, let's go back to chapter 6, verse 17. This is the Word of God. And the city shall be accursed, even it, and all that are therein to the Lord. Only Rahab the harlot shall live, she and all that are with her in the house, because she hid the messengers that we sent. And ye, in any wise, keep yourself from the accursed thing, lest ye make yourself accursed when ye take of the accursed thing, and make the camp of Israel a curse and trouble it. Now God's Word was plain. When you go into this land, into Jericho, that you don't touch anything. It's a curse. This city is accursed. He made some exception here. We've got Rahab and anyone in her house, they're okay. But you leave everything else alone because it's a curse. And if you take of it, you're going to curse yourself. And you're going to bring that curse upon all the people of Israel. Don't touch it. And then we have Achan here. And he says, what's the worst thing that could happen if I simply take a little bit for myself? What's the worst thing that can happen if you disobey the Lord, but nobody else really knows? What's the worst thing that can happen? You're sitting at home and you decide to get on the internet and look at things you shouldn't look at, and nobody else is going to find out about that. What's the worst thing that can happen? If you get away from the church house and you decide you're not going to act like a Christian, none of the church people are going to find out about it. Preacher's not going to find out. What's the worst thing can happen? I think I'll take this little gold and this little silver and this goodly Babylonian garment. I think I'll take it for myself, but I'm not going to let anybody else know. That way there'll be no trouble. And I'll take it and I'll bury it in my tent, and maybe 10 years down the road I'll dig it up and everybody will be forgot about it. What's the worst thing could happen? I may need this down the road. I'm sure he did some reasoning there. Listen, this gold laying on the ground, silver, I may need that after a while. I've worked hard. I've come this far. We have been struggling in this old wilderness forever. It's about time for me to do something for myself. Don't I deserve to look after myself? The worst thing that could happen was he brought sin upon the entire camp of Israel. You know, a lot of times we don't consider how disobeying the Word of God can affect even those around us, can affect our family. It can affect our churches in some cases. What's the worst thing that could happen? He brought a bad spirit into the camp. God's people went out to battle, and listen, God had been with them. They were unstoppable. They could just march around a city based on the Word of God, and it would come crumbling down, and really they didn't have to lift a finger. And now this little Ai, there's nothing to that. Just a little village. We can go take it. They went in and they lost. They lost the battle. It may be that sometimes we as God's people, we're losing some battles because we're not listening to His Word. He and his family, I tell you, the worst thing that could happen, he and his family perished because of his rebellion. It's a sad thing when we fail to listen to the Word of God. It's a sad thing. It's a sad thing when God's people just simply won't listen to the Word of God. You know, every lost sinner in hell, and I believe I can take the Scripture and bear this out based on the words of those we do, or the one we do have in hell. And I believe every lost sinner in hell wishes they would have just listened to the Word of God. Not to not have been stubborn. Not to be rebellious. God's Word to be saved by grace through faith. Sirs, what must we do to be saved? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. And thy house. Every lost sinner in hell, I believe they wish they could just believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. They don't have that opportunity now. What's the worst thing that could happen? You could lift your eyes in hell. That's the worst thing that could happen. You could lift your eyes in hell. Every church that has split could have been prevented by humbling themselves to the Word of God. Every shipwreck life could have been prevented by just listening to the Word of God. Right now, you may spare yourself much grief if you just hearken to the Word of God. Now sometimes, I know maybe somebody said, Brother Brad, I tell you what, I've made some bad mistakes and I know I've messed up. Sometimes our ship goes down. And God may allow us to rise up from the shipwreck. I think about Nebuchadnezzar and how that he lifted up his eyes on this great Babylon which he had built. Mistake. It was a mistake. He let his heart get lifted up in pride. God hates pride. We all know that too, don't we? God hates pride. He hates for us to get lifted up in self. Nebuchadnezzar got lifted up in self and look at this great Babylon that I have built. I've done all this. And he finds himself eating grass like an ox. I don't know, that's amazing to me. Can you imagine all his subjects, different ones walking by and looking out in the field? That's a strange looking cow. That's not a cow. What is that? That's a man. Who is that? That's the king. What is he doing? He's eating grass like an ox. His nails have grown out like claws. His hair matted up like feathers. What is going on? He didn't listen to the word of the Lord. And whenever God gives him back his sanity and gives him back his kingdom, he says this, and I wrote this down. Listen, now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, all whose works are truth and his ways judgment, and those that walk in pride he is able to abase. He rose from the ashes. His life, he made shipwreck with his life, but the Lord let him come back, didn't he? But whenever he came back, he had been humbled. He understood who God is and how important God's word is. Brother Mike, it's much, much better to hear now and spare ourselves much grief. That is sure to come if we're stubborn and rebellious. God looks on stubbornness and rebellion, and he said, it's like idolatry. It's like witchcraft. We think, well, I know what God's word says, but we need to stop there. We need to consider what we're saying. We need to consider what we're thinking about. I know what God's word says, but that'll get you in trouble, won't it? There's certainly trouble to come if we don't listen to God's word. You pray for me that I could always listen to God's word. We ask for a blessing of my soul.